meeting at 12:05, and in doing so, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners, the Gadigal people, their leaders past, present and future, who have and will continue to contribute to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. So welcome everybody, thank you very much for coming. Okay, item three, recording of attendance, as I've just mentioned. Apologies from Councillor Lorraine Butson and our community member, Mr. Bill Rambanis. Item 3.3, approved leave of absence, there is nil. Item 4.1, questions from the public at the Audit and Finance Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 19th November 2014, there was nil. 4.2, questions from committee members at Audit and Finance Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 19th November 2014. There was nil then too. Moving on to item 5, just an important note. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding members to do so. So, 5.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 12:07. Are there any public questions? Right, I note that there are no public questions, so we declare public question time closed at the same time. 5.2, public statement time. Are there any public statements? I declare it open at 12:08. No public statement time, we will declare it closed at the same time. Moving on to item 6, questions from members without notice. Councillor Hunt.
No, Madam Chair.
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
And I have nil, so there are no questions from members without notice. Item 7, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. May I have a show of hand? Let the record reflect 3-0. Item 8, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. 8.1, confirmation of minutes of the Audit and Finance Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 19th November 2014. Are there any points of clarification?
Happy to move.
Thank you, Mayor Howlett. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Those against? Let the record reflect 3-0. Item 9, announcements by presiding members without discussion. None for me this month, but I would like to acknowledge the presence today of two acting directors for the record. Chris Linnell, Acting Director of
Community and Development Services.
Thank you, Community and Development Services. And Jeff, I'm afraid I don't know your name.
Burns.
Jeff Burns, Acting Director of Works and Services. Welcome to the table. Thank you very much. Okay, item 10, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. There are nil today. We are rocketing through this agenda. It's fantastic. Item 11, reports of officers, 11.1. Community Development and Services, 11.1.1. The GP Housing Quarterly Review, quarter 2, October to December 2014, with the officer's recommendation that we receive the second quarter reports for GP Housing from the Port Hedland Medical Centre and the Kinetic Health Centre. So are there any points of clarification?
No points, so moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Thank you. Seconded by Mayor Howlett. Those against? Or let the record reflect 3-0. Okay, we move on to item 11.1.2 on page 18. And Councillor Hunt, I believe you have a declaration of interest.
Madam Mayor, I do have a declaration of interest in that I do have from time to time employment with the visitor centre. As stated in the agenda, I am a tour guide for the visitor centre, so it's a financial interest.
Sure, thank you. Now, we will Having said that, accept your declaration of interest. Given that we haven't got a quorum, we will move this item to the next council meeting. But I will ask if there are any points of clarification. So if you could leave for that discussion. And just before we go, there are some points with regards to some typos, I believe. First of all, the item reads October to December 2015. I think it should read 2014. And wouldn't that be also known as the second quarter rather than the first quarter? October to December is the second quarter?
That's correct.
Would that be correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and same again in the executive summary. It's noted as October to December 2015. That should be 2014, I think.
That's correct.
Correct? Okay, Madam Mayor, do you have any points of clarification?
I'm just wondering if I can. So I notice that we've got a meeting and maybe a chair or CEO, maybe if I'm not allowed to say anything, but we've got a meeting to discuss contracts and stuff. So is that something we can talk about? Not really, or?
I'll go back to you.
So the contract.
Why are we having a meeting? Why can't the contract just be renewed or sorted out or whatever we need to do?
It's just to get some clarification around the five additional key points that were added to the recommendation about the renewal of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So just having an in-house meeting first just to work through those to make sure officers and the mayor are on the same page. So this item should sit outside of the contract in a way. It's obviously related to the contract, but doesn't relate to contract renewal.
That's okay. So just as I'm going through this then, just in terms of the membership, and I guess I know that it says it's been heavily advertised. I guess I sort of disagree, but we can all agree on advertising. And I guess the pricing of the membership, so that's certainly not very many $100 pricing. Maybe it might be good next time to actually get someone from the visitor centre to talk through what they're doing and how they're getting community and getting some of that local business and local involvement into the centre.
Could we then make that an action for the next audit committee meeting that we invite a representative from the visitor centre to come and give us a presentation on their report?
Certainly can. We could also, if there's comfort. Given we don't have a quorum, if it's comfortable taking this item directly to council next week, which won't have a committee recommendation attached to it,
we could still
ask the visitor centre for some written information on those couple of points you've raised, Madam Mayor, and invite them to even present directly to the OCM, where all elected members are present. I'll hear that.
Maybe even just bring it to March. That gives them time
to
come and present.
March might be a good thing for them to answer the specific question, but they can do a presentation to the OCM. I think that's probably good.
I don't think there's any reasons why this needs to be. I'm not sure if we've got any obligations apart from them reporting to us in a timely manner.
Mm.
Whether council receives it in February or March is probably not a critical issue.
No, that's true.
So you're happy to hold it over to March, because we won't have another Audit and Finance Committee meeting between now and then, ordinarily.
No.
Yeah. So hold it over, take it to the March OCM, but invite the invite form on behalf of the Visitor Centre to provide a bit of a presentation.
All right, I have a couple of clarifications that I'd like them to respond to for the next Audit and Finance Committee meeting, and that's relating to the consultation group, which they've said a steering committee will be formed in order to strategise how to further leverage off visitations, etc. So if they could advise when that is likely to happen. And also,
where are we talking? We're talking
on
about
page
the consultation
20,
group.
Yep.
Second bottom.
Yep. Second box from the bottom.
Yep.
If they could advise when. I too have concerns around the membership, with along with Madam Mayor's comments. I would certainly encourage whether they could feedback. They could visit businesses to actually get a face-to-face interaction and I think that might be a more responsive method to get membership rather than just advertising. And my third question relates to the Port Hedland International Airport coordination. I know a budget yet to be determined by them, but please can they advise when their booth is likely to be set up, because we've discussed this for some time.
So I can give you a quick understanding. My understanding of that is the way that the contract is written talks about that as being a project or a commitment, but it's premised on budget, capability of budget. So if they continue to come back to us and say they don't have the budget for it, then it's never going to happen.
Could we perhaps, you know, there's nothing wrong with budgeting a stand that says, that has some of the bits and pieces.
Yep, I agree. I'm just letting you know, from a contractual perspective, I don't think the town's in a position to be able to force them to do anything. I suspect maybe one of the answers to this is looking at things like touchscreens, where it doesn't mean they can't apply for a grant even from the town of Port Hedland, if that's what's needed to actually move this forward.
Sure. So can we find a method to move it forward? Beautiful.
Madam Chair, just to give some more definition around what I'd like to see presented, so certainly around the membership as well as the partnership that they have, and whether with BHP Billiton, whether BHP Billiton are committing on an ongoing basis to providing funding to the visitor centre, and just in regards to the bungalow, the business enterprise centre, just an update in regards to where that is at and what has happened to date there.
Sure. Thank you, Madam. Anything else? CEO,
you got that? Yes, and I know that bungalow's picked up in the next report as well, so there's a little bit more information in the next report.
Okay. With that in mind, we will invite Councillor Hunt back in so she can be earning her keep at the table. Welcome back, Councillor Hunt. In your absence, we have tabled the report to be presented to the March OCM with a presentation from the visitors, a representative from the visitors centre, addressing a couple of the queries that the members here had. Okay, moving on to item 11.1.3, page 47. The Courthouse Gallery Quarterly Report, October to December 2014, with the Officer's recommendation that the Audit and Finance Committee receive the second quarter report, 1 October to 31st December 2014, for the Courthouse Gallery Form Contemporary Art and Craft Design. Are there any points of clarification?
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Yep. Councillor Hunt? Oh, sorry.
Yep, Madam.
Yep.
On page 48, says that the previous quarter's profit was $334. Is that right, or is it a typo?
I'm sorry, can you tell me?
Oh, sorry, about second paragraph down after the dot point, page 48.
Yeah.
Says that the expenditure was $258,573. This is an improvement, on the previous profit of $334.
That's a huge profit. Director of Finance.
There's a dot after it.
I'm just trying to think.
Quarter
it should
quarter
be here.
Through the chair, my interpretation of that would be that that would be an increase of $334 on the last quarter result. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
you're
happy with that? Quarter's profit of.
You're happy with that, Councillor Hunt? Okay.
Yes.
Anything else? Any other points of clarification?
No, not at this stage.
Okay. Madam Mayor?
Just wondering, with the maintenance report, so under the 10th of the first 14, it had white ants in the foyer ceiling, water damage in the retail space, damage to the manse building veranda after the cyclone, water damage near the fire hydrant. So it's just as it's been raised. So have they been closed out, those four?
Oh,
through the chair, my understanding is they have been.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've also had some internal discussions about really whether this is an appropriate level of detail that needs to come to council, the maintenance reports, notwithstanding there's some interest in our heritage buildings, is that we're having reports of light globes and door closers, whether that really needs to come to this committee. So certainly my understanding, Madam Mayor, is that those items haven't been closed out.
Madam Mayor, I would refer you to the top. It says the courthouse gallery maintenance report for 2014, so it has all the months. So they have been definitely closed out.
Well, it doesn't show that, so I've looked at them. Mm-hmm.
Through the Chair, just point of clarification in regards to my my previous statement. The profit for the September quarter was $334. The profit for the December quarter is $258,000, so it was actually a comparison between the two quarter performances. So it hasn't been an increase of 334, it was an increase of 258,000.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you for that clarification, Director. Madam Mayor, do you have any more other points?
So I'll trust that those items are closed out, and I agree in regards to the ceiling lights, and that's been brought up a couple of times in May 27th and the 5th. And 15th of the 9th as well. So just guess we're sorting out that ceiling light.
Any other points, Madam Mayor?
If I may, through the Chair, on the point of closing out maintenance issues, at the present time, the Engineering Department is actually gathering up all the information from Synergy in those sort of areas to find out what's been done and what hasn't been done, so we've got a good idea of that whole process and that system. So I'll look into that and make sure it is closed out, what's happening. So that should be by the end of the week.
So you can bring that back to this report will indicate those items. Thank you very much.
Sorry, just on page 56 is in that report is that indication about the bungalow being unavailable to the public. It's not a lot more in detail there, but I think we need to have that discussion and understand what arrangements are actually in place there.
Anything else? Okay, with no other points of clarification, can I have somebody to move that item? Thank you, Madam Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Page 59, item 11.1.4. All in favour? Those against? Let the record reflect 3-0. Thank you. Page 59, item 11.1.4, Town of Port Hedland Leisure Facilities Management Contract Second Quarter Report. I question the date on this. Should it read 2014-2015? I'll take advice on that. Are we accepting the 2013-2014 report?
Through the Chair, that should be 2014-2015.
Cool. With that correction, the officer's recommendation as shown below, that the Audit and Finance Committee recommend that Council endorse the second quarter report, attachment 1, for the operation of the Town of Port Hedland Leisure Facilities Management Contract with the YMCO of Perth for the period 1 October 2014 to 30th of December 2014. Are there any points of clarification?
I'd be to see how you might like to handle this, Madam Chair, but given that we have the regional manager of YMCA, is there an opportunity to suspend standing orders or do something so that we could hear from them and hear what they're up to and talk us through their report?
Yes, Madam Mayor, we certainly have that, and we were going to do that on the next item, but happy to bring it forward if you'd like to do that now.
No, happy to stay
They are interrelated, so the discussion might be beneficial now.
No worries. So with that, I might suspend standing orders. May I have a mover? Thank you. So moved, Madam Mayor, and seconded by Councillor Hunt. Those against? 3-0. Okay, let me invite to the table. Graham, if you would like to come to the table with
Dan,
thanks.
His birthday is yesterday, 48.
Dan, was it your birthday yesterday?
Yeah.
My heavens. And I heard a fairy whisper, your age can't be possible. You look fabulous.
It's much better 44. Than, much better than
so much, very much better than now. All right, sit down, Dan. Welcome to the table.
Can we have a debate about that?
Yeah, we'll.
Seems like suspended standing orders.
I'm not going to argue with
that. So, Dan, we did ask you to present a report back in November around some of the facilities sort of performance, if you like to call it that. So let me invite you to the table to talk to both items 11.1.4 and 11.1.5. So did you want to talk to the report that you gave and then sort of answer anything?
Yeah, sure. Look, I can make some opening comments if you want, and then perhaps if people want to ask me some questions, I'm more than happy to have some questions. Look, essentially, this financial year was always going to be a challenge. I mean, obviously, one of the things, though, that the YMCA were conscious of in the past were there were, I think, at the end of last financial year, there was a number of variations due to complexities with South Hedland. So I suppose one of the things we wanted to make sure we did this financial year is not be coming to council for variations and to manage through. So there was a number of, I suppose there was a real push from Council of Hedland, which we totally respected, around getting back to contract, getting back to that contract price. But there were a number of, I suppose there was around what I would identify around about $248,000, $250,000 worth of expenditure that we needed to absorb and find other income resources to absorb that, and that was fine. So one of the ways that we tried to absorb it was obviously through our health and fitness memberships. So we raised the bar there, and that's just one area. And so, but look, one of the things that happens, we've had some, obviously with iron ore prices and the movement of the town, the health and fitness memberships has really, really plateaued. And when I say plateaued, like we're actually only, as a total, $3,000 off compared to last financial year. So I think that needs to be put, even though we're a little bit off the we're well off the target. And so $3,000 off the last financial year target. So I think that says that, you know, the business is still relatively in a healthy shape. One of the other things that needs to be pointed out is, I'm not sure if people remember, I certainly do, is the target that we had in year one of the operation. Year one of the operation, health and fitness memberships was $600,000. This year we're going for $1.8 million. I'm not saying that we're not capable, and that we're, but we need to be conscious about, you know, these targets and what's happening in the town. One of the things that's also occurred, like when you look at the attendances at our facilities, this time last year, across all three sites, we had 177,000 attendances. So far this year, we've had 146,000 attendances. So there's obviously been a shift, a shift in the town. Look, there's an element that we can be doing things better too. We're not disputing that, but I suppose 30,000 shift in attendances isn't just because the treadmill's down or we're not marketing ourselves as well. So it's about, I'm happy to take questions at any time, but I suppose it's about what are we doing, I suppose, to obviously narrow that gap. And I can assure you that we've got a number of events happening where I suppose we hope to narrow that gap. One of the things is that I've been big on, and it's one of the things that I suppose was a theme of a presentation that I did to this, not this forum, but to the council, was about really changing the way that we actually greet people. I think sometimes in places like Port Hedland, they think we're we're the only show in town, and that can sometimes, I suppose, mislead people, that people are automatically going to buy memberships. And I just want people to know that we don't think that way. And one of the things, we're aware that there was always going to be like a tipping point to your memberships at the facility. So One of the things we're really focusing on, and that'll be the theme of this this open day coming up, is being very internally focused. Is about not just, you know, if you come in and you want your membership and, you know, like, here's the gym and so forth. It's about
say the words. Sorry? Customer service.
Yeah, it's customer the service, buzzword. But it's more than that. It's actually more than that. Mm. I think we're quite a friendly crew, but I think where we can improve is personalising the service. Mm. And we need to improve our retention of customers, particularly during these periods. So, look, you know, on the other side of the coin, we've had a bit of a rough patch internally in terms of some absence, you know, some key staff left when, you know, but that's not, but you didn't get the YMCA to hear about that. We'll manage through that. And for us, it's about what we can do from now to actually narrow that gap. But some of those expenditure items, due to the transition in time, have really, really impacted on us. I would say that so at the financials you're looking at, I think we're 288 behind. I can tell you now, after doing the latest financials, we're about 253, so we're heading in the right direction. Looking at some of the, what I would call, say, life cycle variations we received, I'd say if we were to receive, in terms of last financial year, if we would compensate for those, we'd be only probably 130 behind. But we've tried to absorb those increases in expenditure. And so 130, 124 behind, I'd say, is a lot different from 258, but it's a lot different from 288. We're not saying we can't do better, but I suppose the theme from us is that, you know, we've had a rough year too. On a number of components internally, and there's been a real shift in the town and the town's economy, and we've borne the brunt of that, but we remain positive, we remain proactive. I was up with my team this week about what we can do to meet the target. So I suppose that's the attitude of the YMCA towards, I suppose, addressing the gap.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. What I might do is open it up to the members in the table to ask questions specifically relating to anything that Dan has provided us with, several pages of correspondence attending to what he's just pretty much walked us through, and that's on page 9 of attachment item 11.1.5. So are there any questions from the members relating to that, Councillor Hunt?
No.
Councillor Mayor Howlett?
I guess just wondering, like, I know the aquatic centres and the cost of the staffing has been outside the budget parameters. I guess looking forward, what can we do there in terms of duty managers, lifeguards, and what can we do?
Yeah, that's a really good question. One of the things that we experienced, I think, is, I suppose, we identified that we were very vulnerable up top when we lose our aquatic managers. I think we had Chris Retallick, who's been a stalwart at Gratwick and filling in at Shack. He had surgery, and Di also was on sick leave. So one of the things we needed to do is make sure that we weren't left vulnerable again. So what I've done is, what we did is, we had a DM structure with about 8 or 9 staff. And that really, I mean, that's great because I suppose we were, once upon a time, we were in a mentality about, let's have as many DM staff to make sure the facility stays open. But we want to do more than that. We want to be more than just open. We want that quality as well. So what I've done is actually, during this year, I suppose I didn't know whether Di and Chris, where the movements are. They were quite serious at one stage. And so it's making sure we've got that platform underneath. So what I did is I recruited some high-quality duty managers that are ready to go as managers. And so there is a, I suppose from my perspective, we're projecting our expenditure will be, as a business unit, we'll be projecting under. But we have gone over in our duty manager to train those staff. So to train a duty manager staff, we need to send them down to Perth to do a pool operations course. Once they do a pool operations, it actually takes a couple of months for them to do that, the course content. then they go on pull deck, then they have to be shadowed and trained, and then they have to send a booklet. So it's actually quite a long process. But I suppose in terms of what I was worried about, I suppose I was trying to be strategic in making sure that if you did lose your aquatic managers, you not only had just, you know, your casual, you don't want just your casuals to fill in, you want the next manager coming through. And I suppose that's what we've got at the moment, is about making sure you've got quality in your aquatic centres coming through for future years.
So we're still doing like Swim for Life, like they used to do Swim for Life?
Swim for Life technically isn't, doesn't fall under my responsibility, but it is a program that that I've been liaising with the Y and that I'd really like to come under the, our banner.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose I'm waiting for advice from YMCA Perth about what they want to do with that in terms of whether they're going to get future funding. It's my view that I think we could get some partial, we should, Swim for Life should be, I suppose, just part of the culture about what we do. And I suppose we haven't overcome that barrier yet, just making it endemic in what the facility does.
Is there anything we can do to say we support that and it's a tremendous program and really...
I'd give the Y $50,000 or something? No. Nah, look, I think the Y are, I suppose they're seeking funding partners at the moment with the project. But yeah, look, sorry, you'll have to talk to YMCA Perth. As far as we're concerned, whether the program goes forward or not officially, it's left an indelible mark on us anyway in terms of the way that we recruit and the way that we mentor staff.
Almost an investment in the future.
Yeah.
It's a way to go.
If I could, Madam Mayor, we certainly would support the program and support the YMCA in their future funding, you know, pursuits. And that has been passed on to verbally, and we'd certainly support them as officers because we see it as a meritorious program, you know, particularly with the cohort that it addresses.
And look, at the moment, at the moment, we've got probably about 10 Swim for Life lifeguards on duty. Mm. And sometimes it can be really... It's really hard because obviously you're rostering around supply and demand, and so you could get, say, like 7 Swim for Life recruits,
mm-hmm.
but you might not have the work for them right then and there, but you need to get them through, you need to put their hours through, so it's always a balance as well.
So in terms of, I've noticed that some of the savings have been in maintenance, and certainly that worries me. And I guess, are we communicating to make sure that if there is some maintenance that we really, really, really need to do, that we are doing it, not just for the short term, but making sure we're focusing?
My understanding was that we projected out on the maintenance. My understanding was maintenance, particularly at the stadium, we projected out to budget. But from my perspective, maintenance is just as important as business development. If it's broken, we've got to fix it. But there are some items that you can get some natural savings. So, like, for example, I went through our maintenance proactive works in terms of the lighting at the stadium, and we did the lighting just before the end of the last financial year. So there's $6,500 allocated to there, and I've actually had the electrician check all the lights that we want that is just sitting there as a saving in itself, just because they were done towards the end of last year. It's sitting there, and that's for the high bay lighting in the stadium, that's allocated every year.
So what about more of the maintenance of the grounds surrounding the aquatic centres, and are we on top of that, or do we need to do something? Because that's a significant delay period potentially if we have cyclones and debris gets into pools and things like this.
Our budget's always really tight there, so essentially I suppose we've got an approved budget. What I do with that budget is I go to the town of Port Hedland grounds maintenance crew, and it's about what we can make work, but we are always right on the cusp there.
So
there won't be any savings, if anything.
No, but do we do what we need to do? Like, have those grounds been tidied up, palms being...
Yeah, well, we're on the program, we're on an approved program from the town of Port Hedland. Grounds maintenance isn't my forte, but I go and see Pip every year leading up to the start of the financial year. We work with we look at the resources that we've got, and the town of Port Hedland, yeah, we work with the town in making sure that that's...
Madam Chair, I know that the team goes in there and does weekly or quite regular, but it's sometimes the big cleans, like the once a year big, like a cyclone cleanup and stuff. I don't believe that they're being done at the aquatic centres. So happy to pass it on and you investigate it. But I just think sometimes a big clean, particularly at shack, would then help some of that debris not getting in the pool.
Okay, so I'll refer that to the director of... to the CEO to note?
We can note that, but certainly my observations in 2014 were that was done.
Maybe here.
And if this one is greatly scheduled, I don't understand why Shack would not be scheduled.
Can
certainly
we get
the
it?
Elevated
I'm
work
more worried
platforms.
About Shack.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't understand why one would happen without the other. So.
I don't know if you can bring that
I didn't
back.
Seem to notice it, but maybe I missed it. So if someone could say when it was done, that'd be great. And
anything
I guess...
Great, I feel Graham's got an answer to that.
Through the chair, sorry. We do an audit twice a year on the facility, and there are certainly a number of issues with regards to things like palm fronds that were picked up at the last audit, and we regularly check that and work with Dan and his crew, and I think we do try and pick up all of those major items. So if there's anything specific, and we are due to do an audit in about the end of March, early April, so we are coming up with that next period, and that's all documented, and I'm happy to share that. If there are areas in there that we need to pick up, I'm happy to also liaise.
So perhaps the manager can come back with that specific information requested by Madam Mayor.
Dan and I'll work clearly on that one together and have a chat about that. But I certainly take on board, and the surrounds maintenance has been is an important part of that in the presentation, and we certainly take that very seriously from officers and a relationship perspective.
Good. So if you could advise us of that.
So with the all the facilities, aren't the expenditures exceeding our budget expectations? So what sort of things do you think that gap's going to narrow? Like you're suggesting it's narrowing, it's not getting bigger, but is there anything we can do to try and bring it to match expectations, or are our expectations too high?
Look, we're projecting, and I've got the benefit of a month's extra figures too. The latest report is that we're just about under our expenditure, and we're projecting further savings. Some of the areas we're making savings in is, say, for example, we've had our swim coordinator leave, so we're incorporating that into the management role at the aquatic centre. You probably would see me sending emails in the middle of the night. I've incorporated some of the management role of the Wanagara Stadium as well. But I suppose what I've done there is I'm conscious that that developing program and getting the business going is vital. So rather than actually appoint a manager at this time, I put more investment into business development. I had a business development officer, and so I'm taking the management duties at the moment whilst we've got someone totally focused on business development.
So
we're making savings.
Still got like another three or so. If you're happy.
No, I'm happy to indulge you, Madam Mayor.
So, just wondering, and just either yourself or Graham can give us a heads up, and just it's the start of the year, and I'm quite passionate about the school swimming lessons and kids swimming lessons. So, is that all under control? Because I know that Atlas has supported them in the past, and maybe they mightn't be as financials in the past. Do we need to help to make sure these can happen again this year?
Madam Mayor, we're secure with the Atlas funding through to the end of this financial year. Right. $25,000 of that goes towards that program. Mm-hmm. We actually have found over the last 12 months that it's been embraced by the schools, and the schools are actually getting a contribution from the individuals to participate. So we're not actually using the full $25,000. Our contribution now is purely limited to flights and to the per diem cost that we pay. We pay the instructors $50 a day, moving away from the ones that we bring up from Perth. So that program, in the last 12 months, the last calendar year, or every primary school in Port Hedland for the first time had swimming lessons, and they all participate in that program. We have the dates now signed up for this calendar year. So South Hedland will be in term two, Baylor and Cassia will be in terms three, and then Port Hedland Primary will be in term four as they have been, and Port Hedland Primary now coming out for their fourth consecutive year. So that program is kind of an outstanding success, and we see it's actually come to a point of sustainability with the kids contributing about $2 a day for that program, and we see no reason with some work with the YMCA that we won't be sustainable from a teacher perspective. In actual fact, we're actually been invited by the Parks and Leisure Australia to nominate that for an award in the Parks and Leisure Australia Awards because of the fact that we've actually, what we've done from a programming perspective. So I think it's been a success story, but you can rest assured that all primary schools in this calendar year will be having swimming lessons.
Does that include, they did mention School of the Year, and I know they do come in at least twice a year for a week block where they get together.
School of the Year still do theirs. It hasn't been part of that. They've actually been doing that independently. And we certainly have made that offer, but they've been able to secure their own teachers. Our program has fundamentally been around supplementing our local teachers with up to 5 teachers from Perth. So we'll actually bring them up, as well as the Atlas money. We've also been supported heavily by FMG, who have provided us with accommodation, the last four lots of accommodation for 2 weeks. And that's been a fact that just, as soon as that goes off our cost, it really does make it much more sustainable. So they've been brilliant. They've provided us with some excellent housing. Town provides a car, so suddenly this program runs, and it's and to be fair, the coordinators have done an outstanding job in bringing that all together.
So, Madam Chair, if we can get some more media around that, I just think that's huge, having that opportunity.
We do try every time we do it, and we've had
Could we perhaps get an indication of what media is being put out to promote that? So
I didn't
know
exactly
FMG, what it is.
So it'd be good. If I don't know, no one knows. So
if
you just get it out there.
Councillor Hunt, did you do the photo shoot? Or was it Councillor Butson? We certainly did a photo shoot last year, and we had both Atlas and FMG on the. And we've actually done a thank you board to all of those supporters. So.
One of the things, just aside from the swim lessons, we're doing, we're starting to form a lot of positive relationships with the schools. So we're going around the primary schools and having discussions with them about how we can be more serviceable for them. So, for example, and you might want to leverage off some of those discussions regarding the swim program. For example, we met with St. Cecilia's last week. We're going to be offering group fitness classes in the St. Cecilia. So group fitness, the Les Mills classes now will be available at St. Cecilia's, in Port. So now we're not so centralised. Mm. So I think there's going to be some media opportunities there, and perhaps that might be a way of introducing, we're doing group fitness in Port, and we're maintaining our relationship with FMG and so forth regarding swim school. The other thing we're doing with the primary schools, we want to start creating, we're conscious that people come and go into town, so we're trying to create an intensive swim program for that 4 to 6 year old market, because kids are coming in and they've come in midway through the year and they might have missed lessons and so forth. And I know, speaking from experience with my child, when there's that interruption in swim lessons, they really struggle. So one of the things we're working with the schools is having a 2 week intensive program, so they'd be doing 3 lessons a week and 2 lessons the next week. Mm-hmm. So and that captures that, one, they can get their lessons done in half the time, and or alternatively they can catch up if they've missed out as well. So.
Madam Mayor, I'll just allude to the time, so did you want a bit more? Do you have it? Yep, yep.
What?
I'm just saying there's a couple more things to discuss. So if it's around the item specifically.
Oh, could be. how's my favourite $1 pool entry going? How's that going?
I love the $1 pool entry. I think it's fantastic. So anything that it enables people to come in and participate in aquatics, we're an absolute fan of. So
the number's still going up?
Yeah, but our
grad... Look,
our, sw-
Table 2 in the report, Madam Mayor, actually outlines the numbers to date. And
page 5.
The $1 swim is going great. So our swim entries at Great Lick have improved. We're down at Shack. One of the things that I suppose has impacted the swimming pools, I think we'd be better at Great Lick and Shack, is obviously we had to do a lot of super chlorination towards the end of last year, calendar year. And to be brutally honest, that really did when I went to the chemist and I wasn't well and they said to me, have you been to the pool? You know, and it wasn't necessarily the pool that was at the cause of the problem. We understand the reasons around, you know, the precautions that need to be made, but there's a learning there for all of us around the swimming, you know, we rely on the swimming pools as a business, you know, but I suppose I met with the, I forgot the lady's name, the PR person from the town of Port Hedland, so we developed some more positive marketing about why we do these tests, and it doesn't necessarily but it probably came a little bit late, and we were all in, you know, like obviously risk management mode, but yeah, that did have an impact on our swims.
Just rounding out, just in terms of budget expectations, I guess the wave rider has never really got up to where we envisaged it would get to. What's your honest opinion about the wave rider, and how can we crack that nut and get it to work as we envisage? In your honest opinion.
It is off the record because it's out of standing orders, so
that's right.
Please
tell us whatever you want.
No, but I'm saying please be brutally honest,
because
that's a question that I have.
Look, I think I've always respected this chamber, so look, I'll always tell you what I think, because that's what you need to make, you know, the right decision. I think my personal opinion with the wave ride is when it's running, it's great. It's a lot of good fun. It's great. But unfortunately, we've had such a long period of instability with it. We've really worn the brunt, and it's just lost so much integrity out in the community. So look, there's still some more, we could be doing more work though around the wave rider, you know, and that's an area, you know, I'm happy to concede, but it is tough. So one of the things that around our business development is we probably need to be a little bit more clever around the type of groups. Like I've done some team building sessions, so that really sells it. We need to probably get primary schools coming through, you know, for nothing, perhaps.
I want to do an attendance reward thing also.
Yeah, so we really need to open it up and get people more familiar with it. We've opened up with the pricing structure, but that hasn't brought the masses in. Look, we've had our issues with the machine though as well, so even though it's operating, I'll be honest with you, it's operating like I operated it one weekend, and there's water coming through the bottom of the thing, you know, and then you lose power, so it's operating, but it's not only a certain, you know, some big mining guys come and then they fall down the wave, but the kids can go on it, so we've got to keep it operating, and you just lose face over that stuff, and you manage through it. So it is an ongoing challenge. It's a very vulnerable piece of equipment. But I'm not just trying to say the glass is half full, but when it is going, it's great fun. It's great fun. Sure.
Could I get you back to exactly what is the budget figure for that? Because I couldn't.
Yeah, I think we're meant to take $122,000 or something in income.
And you've got here in your letter that you sent to us. You said the year-to-date revenue on the surf machine is $2,000. And that this is a positive variation of $27,000. I didn't understand what you meant by that. So it's $127,000. Is the budgeted
annual target is $122,000. So that would make us at this time of the financial year would probably be at we're probably meant to be at about 60 or 70K. 77 maybe.
Year to date budget is 72.
72,
okay. So there's a 7 missing out of that, which makes it a lot more thingy. So maintenance cost, I couldn't see it anywhere in your report that you gave. So what's the maintenance cost of that machine?
think it's about, I forget the contract, it's around $40,000 or $50,000 a year.
So is that the operating cost?
No, that's the maintenance agreement.
Maintenance and the operating cost.
Still covered under defects liability because of the ongoing issues, hasn't the defects liability?
There is an ongoing service contract that the ones we have entered into with Swimplex, so that's outside of the variation, but that's something to keep it going. So there's the greasing of the motors. I mean, the greasing and all those sorts of things that need to be done. So there is a contract that the YMCA have entered into, and Dan would know the details, the exact details of that. That's between them and Swimplex.
So we've got Swimplex coming out. They've put a proposal, I suppose. What I've asked is, are there any efficiencies with the machine that we can do to obviously keep it going but save costs? One of the options that they've given us is a remote control on the wave. So that means we wouldn't have to have a console operator. We just have to have one person, and so that would halve our staffing costs as well. So that's an area that we're looking at.
So Dan, could I just ask if you could bring back to the next meeting a detailed audit of the cost involved with that machine, including maintenance, including operational costs, and also an income cost that tells us what is the budget, what it has been performing for the last couple of years, 3 years, understanding the issues you have. I think that's one of the biggest problems with the surf machine is the public perception. People don't have confidence in whether it works or not. And as you said, it might not work for big guys, but it's okay for the small kids. It doesn't mean anything because the big guys are the ones that want to use it at the time.
No, exactly right.
So if you could bring that detailed order back to us, and also maybe a strategy as to how you're going to, you just mentioned taking it to school, free for school, so how an action plan to say that, how are you going to get that machine back in the public eyes to feel love and confidence in utilising, because that is one of the biggest disappointments out there in the community, is that machine is a bit of a white elephant.
Yeah.
So I see that as something,
the strategy
moving forward.
Yeah, the strategy, I can send that to you today if you like.
Cool.
The strategy moving forward.
Oh, just to no, report
just
back to the
want
audit.
Some expediation on that, though. We're already looking at what we can do to narrow that gap. So the wave rider has been identified, obviously, as a big component of that. So,
can I just suggest we do that out of session and not wait for the next audit and finance committee?
Cool.
If I can, Madam Chair, I think at some stage a decision has to be made about that machine.
Yes,
absolutely.
So at the moment we are looking for its, level of integrity where we can be confident that it's going to be operating on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
If we continue to have significant downtime, my belief is that a decision needs to be made about whether you actually keep it or scrap it.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think, the whole reputational issue, if it's affecting Shaq, if it's affecting the reputation of that whole facility based on one component, it'd be a tough call to make, but I think it's something we really need to consider. Otherwise, we're going to, we've got no confidence that it's operating today, and if I wanted to make a booking for this week for a big guy, can I use it? And so what do I do? I probably don't even make a booking. And that's that whole cyclic
public expectation. So along that line, you'll make an action to do that. Along that line, I guess the main reason I asked is because we asked back in the November meeting for an action plan, because quite frankly, we can't sustain all. I think it's hard for us to keep viewing the leisure facilities at that loss that is projected annually. And I see a couple of things that I'd like just your quick response on, and I don't want to labour the point, but I guess the wave machine's one. I look at the utility costs. I mean, 160,000 Ks. If we're talking about, we really need to, as an audit committee, deal with you to come up with an action plan that's going to attend to some serious things. And what, the wave machine might return us some dollars in selling it to some other poor sucker. If that's the case, we have to do, but that's an action plan. And I don't think that we can keep coming back with officers' recommendations telling me that it needs to be noted that savings identified are not sustainable in the long term and may be long term compromise the operation of the facility. And I think that to me is not something that we as an audit committee should be accepting, that that's just the report and we're asked to accept that report. No, we need an action plan that says that there is an issue, and like the CEO mentioned, let's get to what it is that we can do to to attend to how we do that. And there's a question I have around. So utilities is there's a paragraph here that tells me that staff housing is at $343,000 per annum. Now, we are in a downward trending market. Why are we still paying $2,200 per week? And I know that it's in the budgeted contract, but that'll be something as the audit committee, I'd be asking the town, why are we paying $343,000 per annum in staff? And I appreciate that. There is a cost. I'm also aware that YMCA has housing. Should we not be looking at a cheaper form of housing? Maybe save some of that budget, still allocated to you for operational. But to me, if we're down 250,000 and we're paying 343 in accommodation, then we might want to look at, yeah.
You're touching on the right things, Darren.
Yeah, happy to have comments on, but these are part of what I would consider an action plan to look at, because right now we're going to be talking about the next year's budget, and we're going to say we're going to allocate you a budget that's not achievable. What's the point of that?
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, did you want me to comment on
that? No, please, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're okay. Look, the utilities, happy to do a separate report on the utilities. The utilities is something in our monthly reports now that we specifically monitor, so we are conscious of that. Utilities was the issue around heating of the pool at South Heaven Aquatic Centre. So I don't know if you recall, around the midway through, we had a very, very cold patch. That took a lot of the resources around our
solar blankets.
Well, we didn't have a blanket. We've got one now.
Yeah, we've got the blankets now.
Yeah, we got it now. Okay.
We got it now. So that goes some way to, I suppose, answering the utilities. The housing, you're going to have to refer to YMCA Perth. That's, I suppose, beyond my responsibility. So. I can't comment on the housing.
Yeah.
It's not something that I set up the parameters around. So
if you're happy with that, then we might take this offline to bring an action plan, because we see the value. There is no undoubted the community's expectation of these facilities and the tough job it is to manage the facilities. We're not saying that you're not managing the facilities, but we have to make some tough decisions. And if it means we bite the bullet now, I think shows a little leadership. Also means that Madam Mayor's $1 entry might be protected for the next few years, because God forbid I turn around and say that we have to charge $2 rather than $1 just to help your budget.
I think you did try that last year.
I'm going to be trying that again. I'm just giving you due notice while this action plan's not in, you know, one gold coin size does not matter to me. It's a gold coin, you know. So
it's really looking at the areas of your business that you can accentuate that and the timing. So you've got to take into account the amount of the transition of the community, the people coming in and going out, and then making sure we need to be accountable that we've got systems that when the people that are here, we're keeping as many people activated as possible. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is make sure we're improving the quality of what we're doing, and also, I suppose, constantly developing the business. So hence putting a business development person on and I taking the management. We've also, what I'd like to do is obviously arrange an allocation of our budget, like in terms of shack, in terms of the customer service, not having a lifeguard serve you and have to monitor the pool as well, having someone specialised in customer service, those sorts of things. So there's some of the actions that we're putting forward.
Community, can I make a suggestion that perhaps this, because of the timing of our committee meetings, that we perhaps organise a subcommittee or a working group to attend to this action plan relating to that? Is there a suggestion somewhere on the table that we could, some working group that allows us to do?
CEO?
Perhaps there is. So suggesting that perhaps we bring this back to a concept forum, as distinct from creating another working group. So that way, hopefully, we'll have more elected members present rather than having a small committee. If I can just quickly, I think there's a couple of overarching issues. One of them is the change in our current economic climate, and whether that means that people aren't attending. But I guess I'm always keen to hear from Dan, and if we break the facilities down, in terms of Wanangarra, do you think we've pretty well squeezed out the revenue that we can out of that facility, you know, based on where our population currently sits? I'll just throw a few things on the table, and you don't have to answer them all now, but maybe there's some takeaway messages. Certainly, I acknowledge the CEO that last year we kept Gratwick open because we did the community survey on the gym, and we agreed that we'd keep the gym open, and that required then the two staffing members because there was no isolation of the pool. So we have to accept we contributed to some additional costs in basically July, August, September, I think it was, of 2014,
yeah,
in terms of operating costs there.
But we're on track with the works that we've just done
about
now.
Yeah, so by the time we got back into winter season for Great Wreck this year, we should not need those staffing members there. We should have the 24/7 access. So that was always an acceptance that the first 3 months of the financial year, this financial year, we were going to incur some additional costs at our request, essentially. The other point, in terms of energy, we did have that spike in terms of the no pool blankets and running the heating system at 120% every day to try to keep the water up to a comfortable level. Hopefully we're on top of that this year. Whilst it doesn't affect our operating costs, we still have the outstanding CAA claim, and that's not yet resolved, so we can talk about that at another time. So I guess there's a number of sort of fundamental issues that we still need to resolve in terms of the future. And the other thing about energy costs is we know that we have some other options for energy supply, but it's whether those, when those options come on stream, it's actually whether they're any better than the not-for-profit rate that the Y can actually access that we can't access through Horizon Power. So we've got a few things we need to test at a fairly high level. My bottom point would be that each year we run these facilities post their major redevelopment, we should be clearer about what the true cost of running them is. And if we understand what the true cost is, and perhaps it's just actually biting the bullet and accepting that is the cost to the community of running those facilities. So I think that's another conversation
that's
we need to have.
Right, thank you, Celia. Is everyone quite happy with that discussion?
Before we resume standing orders, if I can, just to pass on my commendations to your team in regards to the use of Facebook and social media to let people know in real time if there's issues and dramas, particularly when we had that freak little storm, power outages and stuff, it's really good to get information out timely. So please pass my commendations back to the team.
Thank you. Well done. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Graham. If that's all, I'll ask for somebody to move back into standing orders. Thank you, Mayor Howard, and seconded by Councillor Hunt. Those against, let the record reflect 3-0. Okay. So, Dan, you can leave if you want to, but you have welcome to stay if you like. Okay, so if we can move on to item 11.1. with the officer's recommendation, do we need to add that we will bring some things back? We need to amend the recommendation because we're not really accepting.
No, the instruction was quite explicit.
Okay,
I'm happy to.
You're happy to move that? Okay, so moved by Mayor Howard, and seconded by Councillor Hunt. Those against. 3-0. Thank you very much, committee. That was a healthy discussion. Okay, item 11.1.5, YMCA financial update, as on the officer's recommendation noted that the Audit and Finance Committee note the report to the Town of Port Hedland. Audit and Finance Committee dated 6 February 2015 as provided by the YMCA. And the attachment there. May I have a mover? Are there any points of clarification first? No. So moved, Madam Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Those against? 3-0. Thank you very much. Okay. Page 61. Oh, sorry, we have covered that already. Let's move to page 62. Item 11.2, Corporate Services, the award of tender 1412, provision of audit services to the Town of Port Hedland for the years 2014 to 2019, with the officer's recommendation there in item listed as 1 and 2, recommend that council... tenders were in your confidential envelope there, if you could call those out, and the recommendation to council is that the tender 1422 provision of audit services to the Town of Portland be awarded to RMS Bird Cameron at a 5-year cost as follows, and we'll refer to the tender costings inside there. And number two, recommend to council that the Chief Executive Officer write to Grant Thornton as the town's incumbent auditor and thank them for services rendered. Are there any points of clarification?
Yes, Madam Chair. So just checking that part three, the review of the financial management systems, does that capture these things that we've been painfully working through over these past few months?
Through the Chair, the scope of the FMR review is very comprehensive and checks our internal controls. So there's a checklist of around 40 items that the auditors cover off on, and that's pretty much a benchmark across the local government sector.
So this will sort out these things that we've been...
And to add to that, we're just in the process of completing our internal audit, and we have commissioned UHY, Hans Norton, to undertake that work, and there's likely to be a number of conclusions and recommendations in that report, which will refer to our appointed auditors to cover off in the FMR as well.
Only that it... Both of those projects will actually identify ongoing improvements that we need to put in place. So I think that's what we want. We want to test our processes, identify perhaps improvements or weaknesses in our current systems, and keep improving upon them.
Madam Chair, is there, and within that part three, and even though it says financial management systems, is there any consideration of risk? Like, I keep bringing up risk, but I don't seem to ever see it.
I have got some things around that same question, Madam.
So through the Chair, in terms of the internal audit, that is essentially in response to the new audit regulations, which covers off on a risk management review. Mm-hmm. So that not only captures financial elements, but it also captures other areas of risk.
Yeah. And that's the work that UHY and Haynes Norton have just done for us.
Right. Yep. That's very good.
Councillor Hunt, you had a question.
Yeah, I did actually have a question. When I was looking through the tenderers and the weighted score, and RSM Bird Cameron came out quite substantially ahead of the incumbent auditor, and I was wondering, the auditor that we've been currently working with, why do they score so lowly? Given that they, this is the one we've had for the last 3 years. And
through the Chair, I'm not sure if the committee would prefer to suspend standing order so we can have a bit of a comprehensive discussion.
May we have
discussion.
Somebody to... Thank you, so moved. Suspend standing order. Seconded by Councillor Hunt.
Confidence.
Sorry?
Have to go into confidence, go into camera.
Okay, so can I have a mover to go into confidence? So yes. Moved, Madam Mayor. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Those against, 3-0. Okay, let's have this discussion because Councillor Hunt. Sorry.
Does anyone need to leave?
Oh.
No.
So how do people know that we're in confidence out there? Just in case they walk in, that's all.
No, we'll tell them to leave the room.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Yellow.
Yeah. It's all right, I'm happy to do that.
Oi, you
must
out.
Be a sign or something. Okay. I was just wondering
why
we're
in confidence
then.
Isn't there a red light that says we're on air?
So we get, sorry,
no?
So
not
clarification, we've got in confidence. We are now, I guess, dealing with the confidential attachment to this tender.
Yes. So I too have the same concerns that Councillor Hunt has just raised, or just same question. So,
yep. So through the Chair, in terms of the qualitative criteria, Council or the Audit and Finance Committee did accept or endorse the request for tendering, including the specifications and the criteria, at the November meeting. And the three main criteria are the local government audit experience, 30%. Tenderers, resources, key personnel skills and experience, 30%, and audit plan and methodology, 40%. So we have received 6 compliant tenders. They are listed on page 64. In terms of the tender assessment, that was undertaken by 3 managers within the organisation, and the weighted scores are as indicated. and RSM Bird Cameron were actually identified as the as the strongest response across all three assessments. I guess the difference between the two being that RSM Bird Cameron better addressed the qualitative criteria within their response, and I think that's evident from a thorough review of the responses that we received. With regards to the Grant Thornton, certainly one of the considerations there was the performance of the audit over the last 3 years, and it's fair to say that in years one and two, the town's, I guess, lack of preparedness for audit certainly contributed to some issues in terms of the timeliness of the annual financial report.
And they were entirely to blame, but yeah, maybe one they could get.
Yeah, and in terms of receipt of the auditor's report, so I think it was sort of February in 1 year, and in terms of sign-off, and a request to the minister was submitted for an extension of timeline, and that was refused, and the other sign-off date was in December in 2013. So last year we actually received audit sign-off about 10 weeks clear of the prior year. My experience with the auditors last year was that there was sort of a distinct lack of experience and expertise in terms of their appointed auditor to undertake field work. As far as issues that arose for clarification, they were often referred to the audit partner off-site and made it very difficult to work through that field audit in a timely manner. My fundamental expectation of auditors is to build a very strong and professional relationship with staff, one where staff can actually learn from the auditors and build their level of knowledge and expertise. And unfortunately, I don't believe that the appointed auditors that Grant Thornton allocated to field work afforded staff that opportunity to develop those skills. Those issues were communicated to Simon Franich, the audit partner, by both the previous Director of Corporate Services and myself, and that was the reason why within the request for tender document we did indicate that 50% of the field time needed to be undertaken by the audit partner. And so unfortunately the score for Grant Thornton was, assessed lower than RSM and Bird Cameron based on those experiences.
Okay. I have some questions relating to that, and I appreciate your comments about the first couple of years and the third year being on time, though. I guess I want an explanation what you mean by qualitative criteria and demonstrates a very comprehensive understanding of the audit methodology. That was my first question, but then you explained it through what you said. I guess my first concern is I don't believe that the finances of the town accommodated the auditors for years one and two, and that's just my experience coming onto council in the capacity. So I understand that I'm happy that it's proven that Grant Thornton produced those audits on time. Given our financial structure currently, are you that you don't show a lot of confidence with them moving forward? Because I look at their previous experience, and with all due respect to RMS Bird Cameron and Grant Thornton, I look at the experiences and, you know, the Shire of Yalgoo, okay, Shire of Broome, Shire of West Kimberley, Mininyu, Mora, Perenjori, and then I look at Grant Thornton and I read City of Perth, City of Fremantle, Karratha, Wanneroo, Joondalup, all of those, and I just look at it and I say, okay, so obviously, they deal with some reasonably large and experienced shires, as opposed to RMS Bird Cameron. And I understand what you're talking about, the partners, but isn't it as simple as us requesting a more senior partner to attend to what we're paying? Because I looked at the costings of both of them, and the reason why I say this is I just want some continuity. The guys, I don't believe, in the three-year span that they were given, had the data to work with effectively. So maybe it's a little bit different for them moving forward, especially if we say we're requesting someone more senior than what they gave us, because they've costed it inside of their costings. And reality is that the pricing difference wasn't that much, because whereas RMS Bird Cameron was giving us free in some areas,
the costs were dearer in other areas, and then they quoted. So I just wanted to highlight that for the sake of continuity, I just wanted to understand why we didn't want to go with Grant Thornton, but also understanding that.
So can I start to address that, Peter? Yep. Peter can follow on. So there's a view, there's two views in terms of auditing requirements, and one is that continuity is useful, mm-hmm. and continuity should not continue.
Yeah.
In that you should bring fresh auditors in from time to time.
Isn't that what Haynes and Auckland are?
Sorry?
UHY doing? Because we're not
going to
appoint them both to do the same.
So UHY Haynes Norton is only doing that internal risk assessment audit.
Yep.
They did not submit a tender for this out of a mistake, not out of not willing to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
The second point was that in terms of getting those senior partners involved, if you actually have a look at the other clients of Grant Thornton, it's possibly the very reason why we're not getting the senior partners here, because they're spending so much time with those big local governments in Perth at the same time we're trying to get them involved here. So, you know, that's one of our difficulties, I think, is actually making sure as a remote client that we get a company that can service us to our needs.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, UHY Haynes Norton have probably done most of the local government auditing across the state. And I don't know how many clients they have, but they've certainly built their business up as a local government specialist service. And they would probably do somewhere around 75% of local governments in WA. David Tomasi, senior partner, has been sheepish and embarrassed that they didn't even get a tender in because they wanted to get involved with the tender process at Town Point. So leaving that to aside, we have had, if you like, some issues with Grant Thornton, albeit that I think the effort that our staff put in last year made our audit process a better process for 2013-14. If you look at the rankings, and I think we have to accept that when staff do the rankings, staff are doing the rankings on what has been supplied to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do an audit, when we do a tender, there are criteria. What they submit is what they're assessed on. So my comment would be that don't worry about a change. Don't worry about the continuity, because I think there's actually also some value in bringing someone in to have some fresh eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our thinking has been that we really want a more forensic analysis, if you like. We actually want more time, and hence cost hasn't necessarily been a driving issue about our tender process. It probably shouldn't be. We should be looking at quality rather than cost.
Yeah.
And then my second comment is that I think one of our difficulties is actually getting those companies that have got a large number of large metro clients to be able to, they want their audits done at the same time, to be able to get that senior auditor approach to us within our same time frames is always going to be problematic. Pete, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Look, I would concur with Mal's comments. You know, from my experience, I've worked at half a dozen local governments, and my experience with last year's audit was that the appointed auditors were by far the weakest auditors that I have worked with in my local government career. So I guess in terms of their clientele, you know, I don't believe that the town of Port Hedland was held in the same regard as those metropolitan clients as far as the assignment of those senior partners. So for mine, that was a disappointment, and you know, those feelings were relayed to Simon Franich. Certainly there have been some internal challenges as far as continuity of staff to meet the deadlines, and I guess the lack of experience on the floor as well has been telling at times. The year before last, there were 13 iterations of the annual financial report that was basically handed to the auditors and needed to be reworked. So last year was a very timely audit, but nonetheless, in terms of, I guess, see the response from the appointed auditors as far as fair valuation of land and buildings. A lot of that information actually needed to be clarified with Simon. This year we've got a very significant challenge in meeting the deadlines of fair value of infrastructure. We've just put together a methodology plan, and that really needs to be tested with the auditors sooner rather than later to get a sign off on our approach to fair value of infrastructure, given that we're doing that work in-house. So we need to be very confident that our auditors have the capacity to provide the servicing that we require.
Well, thank you very much, Director. Okay, well, that was very encompassing. We've all been enlightened. So can I have a mover to come out of confidence firstly?
Yes.
So I move Councillor Hunt and seconded Mayor Howlett, and then another mover to go back into standing orders. So I move Councillor Hunt. And seconded Mayor Howlett. Those against? 3-0. Okay, let's consider the item then after that very well explanation. Okay, so do I have a mover to accept the officer's recommendation as appears up on the board there? So moved, Madam Mayor. Seconded Councillor Hunt. Those against? Let the record reflect 3-0. So shall I read it out now? So if I can ask you, CEO, to read out the figures, please, so that we can populate those at table.
So 14, 15, 43705.
Sorry. No, just as for so we have inserted the price
schedule. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's broken down.
I'm happy to go with those.
Yes. Yep. Okay, beautiful. Thank you very much. And you've had the okay. Good job,
sorry,
people.
Sorry, did you do the vote?
Yeah, we did. Yep. We moved it before. So do I need to call it out, or are you happy with those figures showing up there? That's good. All right. Page 67, 11.2.2, the quarterly budget review and statement of financial activity for the period 31st December 2014. Very happy to know you got the right year, Director. With the officer's recommendation that the Audit and Finance Committee receive, number one, the 2014-15 quarterly budget review and statement of the financial activity and supporting information for the period ended 31st December 2014. Number two, note the accounts paid during December 2014 under delegated authority. Item three, recommend that Council adopt the 2014-15 December quarterly budget review and amend 2014-15 budget as per schedule of budget variations resulting in an unfavourable change in projected net assets of $324,961 as at June 2015. Number four, recommend the Council resolve to establish a reserve account under Section 6.11 of the Local Government Act 1995 titled Unspent Grants and Contributions Reserve with the purpose of restricting unspent grants and contributions at the end of the financial year. And five, recommend the Council resolve to transfer $209,461 being for additional interim rate revenue received into the Strategic Reserve for the purpose of retiring debt and debt consolidation, as well as funding strategic projects identified in the community and corporate plans but not yet funded in 2014-15 budget. Are there any points of clarification?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
In regards to the budget established of $100,000 for the verge cleanup program in South Hedland, what does that entail? And why is it only South Hedland and not Port Hedland?
Apparently they're a lot cleaner in Port because of the sea breeze and everything. But I'll refer that
to
back
question
to
that.
I'll refer that back to the CEO.
So it actually should read Port Hedland. It's for both. It's for the entire local government area.
Right.
So what does that entail? We've been speaking with the manager of engineering operations to conduct a clean up of all our verges from woe to go, from one end of town to the other, removing mounds of dirt that have been left there by developers, old piles of concrete, broken curb, anything that needs to be removed. Where verges are obviously intact and level, we won't even touch those verges. But we'll pick up on some of our other public open space, some of our drainage areas, etc., as we're doing that program. It's probably going to entail two trucks, two bobcats and two teams working from either end of town and meeting somewhere in the middle as they complete that program. That program may evolve into part of 15-16 as well by the time we complete the project to the standard, which we are aiming to do. So just to wrap that out, that team may include some day labour that are contracted in, but there'll certainly be a staff member from the town of Port Hedland involved, and their responsibility will be to record and document any maintenance issues that are required along the way, about which parts of curbing, street signs, anything else that we need to do to improve our general amenity and aesthetics and asset management as they go through that process.
Sounds satisfied with that, Madam Mayor?
Happy with that
Next.
Part. And if I can ask then, in regards to the budget of $300,000 for community projects to be workshopped, when are we workshopping that?
Madam Mayor, we will bring that to this afternoon's meeting for initial discussion of elected members. So we did a request for projects to elected members and staff. That project list has been consolidated. We did a bit of a review yesterday on those. We're going to come this afternoon with what we believe we'll have show all projects that have been submitted. We've done a bit of an estimation of what we think we can achieve with those funds and what some priorities are. Also, some of the projects that have been nominated are already capable of being funded within the existing budget, mm-hmm. and some of them are simply operational issues that should be contained within existing budgets as well. So the elected members will be able to see their first cut of that this afternoon without needing to make a final decision now. But we do, if we want to achieve some of those projects in this current financial year, we need to get some sign off and get moving.
That's good. So that will build in things like amazing resource requirements to put up shade over clay equipment at Cemetery Beach Park and things like that. Is that how do we handle those sort of...
They are operational issues, Madam Mayor, which won't be considered as part of that. That's basically an instruction that's going to be forthcoming about how we handle that, given you've been privy to that information of the estimated time frames to do that task.
That blows me away. 12 hours.
Blows those
to make sure the site's safe when people do go home at night, or does someone sleep on site to make sure that the shade that's half down?
I'm not suggesting that that's one site. I think they're suggesting that's all the shade sales across town that have been taken down, is how long that would take to reinstate them all. I've asked for some notice about what it means to get them over our important areas, such as playground equipment, as a first reaction.
So things like the $5 per bag, a possible white good collection, works that really, really must happen at the South Headland Cemetery and some of our tourism initiatives, they're all part of this 300K workshop that we're going to workshop.
Not all of them, so...
What ones aren't?
Well, out of that list you just gave me then, the litter collection, I think we should be covering that in within existing budgets.
So doesn't need to be dot pointed in?
No, I think we just reinstate that as part of... it's actually just an allocation of existing resources back to that particular project. So
I'd like some certainty on that.
Yep, and like to advertise that and make sure the community is aware of their ability to assist us and what they get out of it.
So the white goods collection, would you bandy that around? Is that in the 300K workshop?
No, it's not, Madam Mayor. Again, those... more to the point, those projects... the $300,000 is a municipal fund allocation. We are testing and costing those white good and other hard waste collections. If they are to be funded, they'll be funded out of existing landfill and waste management budgets, not out of municipal.
And the tourism initiatives, given that we're on the cusp of the start of tourist season, are they?
They're certainly in that list, Madam Mayor.
In the 300K?
Yes.
And the cemetery works?
Yes.
Are in the 300K?
Yes. The initial survey and infrared assessment has been given the go-ahead just to make it happen.
And so the paving and shade and some of those amenity improvement, including landscaping and making that entrance a desirable, attractive entrance.
So at this stage, Madam Mayor, I think the projects have been put forward, which you will see this afternoon, incorporate an entrance statement off Altitude Avenue, the new entry. It includes the shade, and I think there was another a small bucket of other minor projects within the cemetery to be considered.
So, Madam Mayor, if it pleases you, we could perhaps keep all of those list of items for the workshop this afternoon.
Oh, I've already submitted them, don't I? Just checking where
anything,
they are.
Any other points of clarification?
No.
I did have one point, just quickly. You listed something there, dot point two, a reduction of 62,000K, reflecting mass accommodation to tourism. Can you tell me what things were reflected on that?
Yeah, through the chair, that was a council resolution with regards to the reclassification of rating for the Aspen Caravan Park.
Beautiful. So, yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, did you have any further comments?
Well, all CEO? I was going to say through you, Madam Chair, is what we will do is look to As part of our, I guess, our corporate information team, we will look to bring some of these new, there's a number of new initiatives in here which I think are quite exciting and quite valuable for the town to also promote. So we will document that separately and make sure that they are part of this outcome.
Thank you, CEO. Very informed. Very happy with that. So, with that in mind, may I please...
Through the chair, I just wanted to record my thanks and acknowledge, obviously, the contribution of Laura in pulling together the budget review. So she's here today and will be attending all future Audit and Finance Committee meetings. And also to welcome Bernard, our graduate accountant as well. So Bernard's been with us for about 6 weeks and has got a full 12-month program ahead of him. So,
18 months within his 12 months.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, welcome Bernard and wonderful job, Laura, because I tell you what, he's smiling a lot more these days than he was a bit last year. So thank you very much for your contributions. So with that having been said, may I please have somebody to move that recommendation. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and seconded by Councillor Hunt. Those against, let the record reflect 3-0. If we could now move on to page 74, item 11.2.3, the compliance audit return. With the officer's recommendation that the Audit and Finance Committee note the outcomes of the 2014 compliance audit return and recommend that Council adopt the 2014 compliance audit return. Are there any points of clarification? Wonderful. We have a mover and Madam...
Sorry, it would be appropriate thing for me to just to raise the four areas of non-compliance very quickly.
It's they written are listed. In the officer's recommendation.
But
if you're happy to talk more to them, I'm happy to hear you.
Well, I wasn't necessarily of a belief you had written, so that's why I thought I'd raise it.
She raised her hand. Everyone had declared that I'd read the paper.
But yes, good job.
Well, only insofar as again, the annual compliance return is still it's a good checklist for us to do. The department does change that checklist each year. It's not this used to be standard. Now there's a few modifications each year to what we're reporting on. I think there's two. I wouldn't worry about the first one regarding the staff member being on long service leave. I think that's really just incidental. The other two, I guess, are little process improvements we have picked up on, and that is where there has been a non-compliance on two occasions when we've advertised for major land transactions. And the last one was an area that was also picked up by through the risk assessment by UHA Haynes Norton. I think we had already identified it in-house in terms of a couple of our key consultancies where we have continued to engage consultants on a monthly basis where they've exceeded the $100,000 in total. So that included some work on waste management and some work at the airport, which are the two key areas. So we are on top of that, and we will run those processes in future for procurement in line with the Act and also in line with our procurement processes.
Thank you, CEO. And I think we requested after Rivian that Haynes Norton, UHY Haynes Norton report last year that we include some recommendations to improve process and efficiencies, which I believe the Acting Director said that would be included. So thank you very much. May I have a mover to that recommendation? Thank you, Madam Mayor. Seconded by Councillor Hunt. Those against, let the record reflect 3-0. Now on the home straight, folks, item 12, page 84 we're on, item 12, late items as permitted by presiding member, there is nil, item 13, motions of which previous notice has been given, there is nil, item 14, confidential items, there is nil, item 15, applications for leave of absence for the next Audit and Finance Committee meeting, around the table, Councillor Hunt.
Well, we haven't got a date for it, so
actually, you're absolutely right. I apologise for that because there was some conjecture about
Through you, Madam Chair, in terms of our discussions with elected members, our preference is you submit your leave absence through to the OCM. Our community members may still need to run their applications through this process, of which we haven't had that at this stage, understanding that our community member is actually on sick leave and may be on sick leave for a period of time at this stage.
So can I throw back to you to get us a recommended date for the next Audit and Finance Committee? I think that's why we were... Governance?
So I think that's to be determined based on
Well, we can't apply for legal.
Through the chair, I would suggest that once we...
But it's more the next one. It's more the attendance by phone. So should we just do that anyway, just so that it gets adopted by council, and then if we don't need to use it, we don't have to.
So is there a likely date?
So through the chair, I think the next important item would be consideration of the internal audit report from Haynes Norton. We should have a draft through within the next couple of weeks. So I would be expecting that if a date was set for April, that would be appropriate timing for consideration of that report.
April?
Yeah.
Second half of April.
Yep.
Okay. So indicative with the indicative date of being the second week of April, or second half of April, are there likely to be any leave?
I will be here in April.
Fabulous. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I'm happy for leave.
Mm-hmm. I am possibly, depending on what date, second half of April.
Can I just premise something which we might want to discuss later this afternoon? There are five Wednesdays in April. There is a community arts function which I think we want to promote to elected members and some senior staff to attend on the third Wednesday. So we are foreshadowing that we may look to seek council's endorsement of moving our agenda briefing to the fourth Wednesday and OCM to the fifth Wednesday in April.
Fabulous. So with that in mind, we'll say we're okay for leave for item 15. Item 16, attendance by telephone or instantaneous communication. Councillor Hunt. No, you'll be fine.
I think so.
I might just put myself down.
I'm going to put myself down for that one. So that will be Madam, the Mayor and myself. Item 16. So can I have somebody to second that emotion?
In accordance with the actually have to be in the state of WA to participate by
Yes.
We must be past Wim Creek and we must be
yes.
within
more
the state.
More than 100 kilometres.
Yes.
Yes.
So you must be, so just to clarify, you must be in the state of West of Australia, not just in a state.
Yeah, we know. That's the rules.
And so,
I'm likely to
Do
be
I need
Perth?
To give you a location now?
Just, yeah, just a city, so you can say
Perth.
Perth. Yes. Perth for both of us. We'll be at the same function. Or we'll be at drinks after that, whatever function.
So perhaps, if I can, just for a bit of certainty, can we nominate the 22nd of April as a potential Audit and Finance Committee, which is the fourth Wednesday of April?
See, that's what we were trying to do. That's fantastic work. What a great
suggestion. So, if we can say the 22nd of April, and can I have a mover that Madam Mayor and myself attend by telephone? Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Seconded Madam Mayor. All any against? 3-0. Okay. Item 17, the date of the next meeting, tentatively set as the 22nd of April. We'll move on to closure. So thank you, everybody, for your attendance and for your contribution. It has been very enlightening today. Thank you, Acting Director of Finance and CEO and staff. All right, with that in mind, closing at 1:40.